Welcome to Podcast 83, a regular look at the news, stories, and trends related to Michigan's 83 counties, from Keweenaw to Monroe, Chippewa to Berrien. Brought to you by the Michigan Association of Counties. Here's your host, MAC Executive Director Stephen Curry.
All right, good afternoon, everyone. It's December 16th. Welcome to the Podcast 83, the podcast brought to you by the Michigan Association of Counties. It's been a while since we've been here. I've got Dina Bosworth and Megan Kite with me of our legislative staff, and you know, we've got some good holiday cheer to bring. We've got a budget done in Lansing, so I think we'll focus on that right away. Dina, why don't you give us a little final update on what transpired over the past few weeks?
Oh, my goodness. I think more like the past few months, but yes. Budget is done, and we're very much relieved. We'll start out with the good news. All of the vetoed line items that really affected counties have been restored. So if you talk, you know, PILT, Secondary Road Patrol, county jail reimbursement, you know, all those line items have been restored. Veterans grants restored as well. And it was a process, for sure. You know, as everyone knows, the budget negotiations broke down earlier this year. We went kind of the whole summer with not really knowing what was going to happen or when the budget was going to be presented to the governor. Once they got back, they sent a budget to the governor right at the end, you know, right at the deadline. But they hadn't really negotiated it out. And so the governor obviously vetoed all of those line items that significantly affected counties across the state. And we've been struggling for months to get that funding back.
So what changed? So the legislature sent the governor a budget. She didn't like it. She used her powers, administrative powers, to kind of change it, which affected us significantly. Then what got those items back and got the governor back to the table?
You know, I think that they had agreed upon what that supplemental budget would be for a long time. But the sticking point was, you know, what they were going to do to limit the governor's powers on how she moves money around and what she vetoes. So they really had to all three get in the room, get along, and come up with a compromise. So the compromise they came up with, restore the funding that was cut for a lot of the budget. I mean, there are some things that have not been yet funded, but there'll be a bigger supplemental in January. But they agreed upon a July 1st deadline to have the budget to the governor every year. This gives them, you know, a little bit more of a cushion than, you know, right at the end of the fiscal year before the new one starts. They also agreed to have a 30-day window to stop the governor from doing some administrative board transfers. Because remember, that was a big part of what she did. She convened the administrative board, moved money around within individual budgets, and that was really unprecedented. Engler tried to do it when he was in office, but, you know, really didn't go through with it because they negotiated a budget out. So the legislature was very concerned, apprehensive about sending her another budget because they weren't sure where the money was going to go. But at the end of the day, they all got in the room, they came up with these compromises and agreements, and now we're sitting with, you know, some pretty good funding for counties.
And I think, too, a better process for the future. Hopefully everyone kind of knows what is and isn't possible, or that process if you do need to, or if the governor needs an administrative board process and the legislature has some involvement in that, and some heads up. So I think for future budgets, we can all be a little bit more hopeful.
Because it is the end of the year, so guess what? We're going right back into it again after the new year.
Yeah.
So were there any other items in the budget, Megan, you wanted to highlight?
Yeah, definitely. One of the sections, boilerplate sections in the budget that has been pretty controversial the past few years is the Section 298, which is this process that the state wanted to put in place to integrate physical and mental health and that funding stream. Some pilots have been going on. There's been some additional language put in over the years to kind of expand those pilots, push them back, prepare statewide implementation for 2023. At the end of the day, the governor actually vetoed all of that, and that was something we were actually happy about for the veto. And now we're really back at the drawing board talking about what the next steps are going to be. DHHS Director Robert Gordon came out and said he does still want to look at a way to integrate physical and mental health, and they think there's some different ways to do that and starting stakeholder work groups and discussions, and we're going to be talking to them more in January. So looking forward to that, and we'll keep our members posted on that as well.
Great. So overall, we're looking at, you know, when everything's said and done, everyone got their nose to the grindstone, got a budget done that the governor signed. Overall, I think it was pretty good for counties, wouldn't you guys say?
We got a revenue sharing increase.
Yeah, so have to highlight that.
That the existing MIDC standards were funded at the level we expected. So
yeah, exactly. We got restoration of $400,000 community correction dollars that were originally taken out of the House proposed budget. So that was also a benefit?
I mean, we don't want to minimize, you know, for sure how hard it was. It was pretty nerve-wracking for us. We heard from all of you out there on multiple occasions on what's really going to happen with the budget. And we appreciate everyone who responded to us when we asked for questions on kind of what the impacts were going to be so that we could help relay that to legislators. I think it was a really good, successful campaign that we did on the budget where all of, you know, so many county commissioners reached out to their legislators and the governor's office and said, hey, these are serious concerns. We have to have these funding line items or we're going to face real layoffs and real programmatic cuts. So I don't you know, want to skip over that. We're very grateful that they engaged on that.
Yeah, I think that's a feedback we heard from not only the governor's office, but legislators, is that our members were reaching out. And it's definitely a team effort when it comes to issues like this that impact us statewide. So we do definitely appreciate that.
You're listening to Podcast 83 with news, features, and services related to Michigan's 83 counties. Learn more about everything county governments do at micountymatters.org.
So moving on to road funding, what do we do about road funding?
Well, I mean, you know, again, still wrapped up in the budget issue, but, you know, the governor wanted the 45-cent gas tax increase, and that's what she built her budget on. And the legislator said, no. I mean, it's really a non-starter. That 45 cents is a non-starter. And I heard that reiterated again this morning. As part of the budget, the legislature sent over, you know, more general fund dollars to go toward the roads, but that was not what the governor wanted. She wants a dedicated funding stream, an increase in revenue to the state to help fix the roads across the state. And we don't really see any proposals out there to do that. They haven't come up with what that alternative to the 45 cents would be, but they just said that the 45 cents is a no-go. So I think that's, you know, again, going to be another topic that's, you know, punted until next year. I'll have to figure that out.
All right. What about some of the other bills that we've been working on this year that have been important to us? You know, obviously, the budget took a lot of air out of the room for the majority of this year. I mean, I think I saw something that I read something earlier that there were the least amount of PA signed since, like, mm-hmm. 1960, which that doesn't surprise me just on the feel of way things were going in Lansing. Mm-hmm. But there were some other issues we were working on. We're going to obviously continue to work on moving into next year. So why don't we touch on some of those?
Well, the four-year county commissioner term bills is probably the most fun one to talk about. This has been part of our legislative platforms for years and years to take county commissioners from two-year terms to four-year terms. We finally got bills introduced in both the House and in the Senate. So Senator McBroom has the bills in the Senate, and then Representative Ann Boland and Representative Sarah Leitner have the bills in the House. We've had one hearing in the Senate. We got them out of House elections, the House bills, had hearings in House Elections Committee. It passed out unanimously. But remember that the House has a two-committee stage process now. So then they went to the House Ways and Means Committee. Unfortunately, they got tripped up a little bit when it got there. You know, we're at the point now where we're trying to figure out which election cycle those elections would be. So far, nobody's really against the policy of four-year county commissioner terms. It's just a matter of when that election takes place. Does it happen on a gubernatorial election year, or does it happen on a presidential election year? And then how does that affect the ballot?
When do other countywide elected officials run now?
On the presidential ballot.
Oh.
Yep. Every 4 years on the presidential ballot. So, you know, some are of the thought process that all the county's offices should be up for election on that cycle. Some are of the opinion that it should be sort of an overlap where the county board is there for 2 years, then the countywide electeds have their election, and then ours are 2 years later. You know, both have, you know, good policy arguments behind each one of them. But you remember, Steve, our board doesn't care, mm-hmm. right? We're of the position that four-year county commissioner terms is the right thing to do across the state. Which election cycle it is, you know, is not really a concern because our members are on both right now.
Yeah.
Every 2 years.
So. Oh, yeah. I think, you know, even when I travel the state doing board meetings, I hear that feedback from other outside of our MAC board, from other county commissioners across state that they don't care. They just want to get it done at 4 years. From a cost saving standpoint, an experience standpoint, I think there's a lot of mm-hmm. positives that can come from that. So hopefully we'll keep pushing this in the spring when they come back, maybe see some movement on it as early as January, right?
Yeah.
And if you happen to see your legislators for holiday stuff, then
it's a perfect time.
Great time to bring it up.
Great job, Megan. Good job. All right, anything else? I think there were some road commission bills we were working on as well.
Road commission bills, yeah. Since 2012, the counties have had the ability to absorb their road commission. And I know that, you know, currently 7 counties have county road departments, Ionia being the last one that absorbed their road commission a couple of months ago. But the legislation's been, had a sunset on it, and that sunset's been extended in the past. And we finally got bills introduced and moved through the process that eliminates the sunset. So what that means is that going forward, a county will always have the ability to absorb their road commission if they so choose. And we know, you know, this is not an easy process. It's not an easy decision to make. It just is what it is. But there are good checks and balances. We've heard from several counties out there that have looked at it, decided to really take a deep dive into the road commission and how they were, you know, paying for things and the efficiencies, and decided that, you know, maybe they need some changes, but they didn't want to absorb them. Other counties have gone the other way, where they have absorbed their road commissions. So these bills were set to sunset, or the ability to take them over, to absorb them into a county department, was set to sunset on January 1st of this coming year. So thank you to Senator Victory. The bills moved out of the Senate and then moved out of both the House Local Government Committee and the House Ways and Means Committee. There was one amendment on the bills by Representative Wentworth that would require a vote if you're going to move from an elected road commission to an appointed road commission. So that bills, both, there were two different bills, both made it back over to the Senate on the last day of session, but we're waiting for the Senate to concur in that change before they get signed by the governor.
Well, good, good. It looks like it's some positive movement there. Not that it's an easy decision, like you said, for any county to want to make a change at the road commission level, but some see it as a positive for taxpayer dollars. So we support that decision being made at the county level. Moving on then to Megan, you know, we know Pew had come into the state, Pew Charitable Trust had come into the state to do a study, the first state in the country to do that. Kind of give us an update on where they are in their analysis.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, not only the task force, but just a number of different reforms focused on criminal justice to have been, you know, kind of the joint effort between the House, the Senate, and the governor's office. So I think next year we're going to see a lot, and I think it's going to start a lot from the jail and pretrial incarceration task force and their recommendations to the legislature that will be presented on January 9th. The last meeting they had in November, they are looking at the certain offense types that people are staying in our county jails and for how long. You know, some folks are staying for less than one day for driving without a license. And do those people really need to, you know, be sitting in that position, or should it be something that should be reclassified and maybe just issued a ticket for in that case? So they're really looking at every offense type. They have sheriffs at the table from different counties, prosecutors, and of course our county commissioners, both from Alpena County and Kent County. So lots of different perspectives at that table. I think it'll kick off the year with some interesting reforms for the legislature to look at and to continue going down this criminal justice reform path. And of course, counties are involved at many different levels on those reforms. So I think there'll be a lot to wrap our heads around in 2020 on that.
Well, good. Well, we finished the year strong, I think. We've got a lot going on in the beginning of next year. Hopefully, the budget won't take up as much time as it did this year, and we can get some good policy work done. I know a lot of the work we're doing right now is good policy decisions. That doesn't always triumph in town, but we'll do our best. What's everyone's plans for the holidays? Dina?
I'm still trying to figure that out. I might try to take my daughter skiing. We'll see.
Well, it's not surprising that it's December 16th and you haven't figured out
okay, already. I know we're cooking a lot. Shush.
I know. I need to go Christmas present shopping. So.
Well, great. You guys are on
one
top.
Week and out. One week
you guys
out.
Are on right. Top. Well, good. Well, happy holidays, everyone. Have a great new year, and we'll talk to you next year.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of Podcast 83, the go-to source for all information about Michigan's 83 counties.